God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I can't relate to being on an airplane, flying to D.C., and then being gone. And I don't think any of us can, because none of us have been through that. But I do want to say something really intentional. Does that thought terrify you? Please pause and think about if that terrifies you. No doubt it's scary. I've been on airplanes that I thought were going to crash. I'll tell you about one tomorrow. We were in the crash position. I even lied to a little girl next to me about her safety. She was terrified. So I'll tell you about that tomorrow. But since I became discipled, it doesn't scare me as much. Does it terrify you? It doesn't scare me as much. And if I'm honest with you, and I always seek to be, what I'm most afraid of is how I will act. In other words, the approval of man. If the plane is disabled for a long period of time, and am I going to be screaming as a fool? Or am I going to be praying in peace to Jesus? Am I going to be trying to comfort people around me if I'm able? Or am I going to be panicking and out of my mind? I speak as a former necrophobiac. I used to wake with the realization that I will die. And I thought, because I was an agnostic, and not an atheist, but an agnostic, I thought in eliminationist terms. And that is that one just ends. And I used to have in my mind the image of space going on forever. And I would never know a thing again. I would never exist again. And even if I begin to think of that, I can now feel those panicky breaths coming back. And as I become discipled and truly know where I'm going, I don't fear it the same way. It's the fear of what will it be like. And there's some excitement. There is. I'm really anxious to meet loving Jesus, who will welcome me home. Even with all my mess ups, mistakes, sins. He'll be glad to see me. So does it terrify you that you can be in an airplane and then be gone? Do you know where you're going? I think that most people who listen to this radio network know. But if you don't, maybe you should decide where you want to go. Because the free gift of salvation and eternal life is yours for the having by asking Jesus to be your Savior. He is your Savior, but by recognizing him as your Savior, ask Jesus into your life today. Ask him to adopt you. Recognize him as Savior. Submit to him. He'll bring to you the Holy Spirit. Get into a good church and get baptized to symbolically show dying to your old self, rising with him. And then go about the process of sanctification, which can hurt sometimes. And know this, it's not going to solve all your problems. You can be a broken non-Christian and then a broken Christian. But over time, if you let him, he'll make you more holy. There's a lot being made about President Trump's statement about DEI contributing to this crash, and perhaps that's the case. There's not as much being made about the statement that a journalist with NC5, Libs of TikTok, got a hold of this. He tweeted this, then immediately deleted it. And this was actually something he tweeted while rescue efforts were underway. His name is Phil Williams. President Trump offered unprecedented buyouts to all federal employees at a time when studies show the FAA does not have enough air traffic controllers to keep us safe. More people will likely die. That could be true. I mean, it's true that he's offered these buyouts. I am in favor of these buyouts. What's also true is if that is your instinct, while people are perhaps fighting for their life, if that is your instinct, I would ask you to think hard about what that job has done to you. Really hard. And what politics have done to you. Because politics can do so many things to people. You know, there's the hearing between RFK Jr. and a very shrill couple of Senate members, or maybe a bunch of Senate members, but some of the soundbites we pulled are very shrill. And so let's parse through this in ways where we're going to attempt to know them by their fruit. A tool of the Bible. So let's start this. This is something RFK Jr. has, in fact, said many times.
The health problems in this country that we must face, honestly. And the first thing I've done every morning for the past 20 years is to get on my knees and pray to God that he would put me in a position to end the chronic disease epidemic and to help America's children. That's why I'm so grateful to President Trump for the opportunity to sit before you today and seek your support and partnership in this endeavor.
So he's consistently said that. And I like to look at consistency between what people say and what people do. He's dedicated his life with the Children's Health Defense Network to defend children's health. You don't have to like his approach to it. He sues companies, pharma companies, and helps fund his organization through that. Oh, and by the way, so does Elizabeth Warren. Senator Warren, she set up a corrupt body that the Supreme Court should have recognized as utterly corrupt called the Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau. It is unconstitutional because it does not respond to the president. It is not under the president. It's not under Congress. It's its own thing. That is wildly unconstitutional. It is a perversion of our system, and it is another reason why John Roberts is not a great justice. And that entity self-funds through lawsuits. So with the power of the federal government, it picks a company, it sues it, it self-funds, and hires more people. So Elizabeth Warren is one of the senators who is questioning RFK Jr., and I'm just looking for consistency. And we'll get to Elizabeth Warren here in a second. Let's start here. It's Ron Wyden, and he pretends it's RFK Jr. who chases money by hurting vulnerable kids. Wyden received $1.5 million from so-called healthcare companies like Molina, Quest Diagnostics, and Novo Nordisk.
So that Mr. Kennedy has embraced conspiracy theories, quacks, charlatans, especially when it comes to the safety and efficacy of vaccines. He has made it his life's work to sow doubt and discourage parents from getting their kids life-saving vaccines. It has been lucrative for him and put him on the verge of immense power. This is the profile of someone who chases money and influence wherever they lead, even if that may mean the tragic deaths of children and other vulnerable people.
So let's examine this together. Ron Wyden received $1.5 million from so-called healthcare companies. Did he ever have that concern about Tony Fauci? Tony Fauci was the highest paid federal employee. Tony Fauci, that's the official paycheck. Tony Fauci was also allowed to do profit sharing with pharma companies. And he never had to tell us how much. Do you remember that exchange with Rand Paul? Where Rand Paul said, how much have you? Well, Senator, I don't have to disclose that. In all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't have to disclose that. So we don't get to know. Ron Wyden had no concern about that. He has no concerns that there are kids, 9-year-olds, with prostate cancer. That has never happened. Only after the COVID shots is it happening. The COVID shots were medically useless in terms of stopping the disease, very good at stopping babies from being born and causing turbo cancers and killing some people. Ron Wyden didn't care about that. Ron Wyden, his fruits are clear. It's a political attack. He has no consistent behavior of being concerned about people's health and political corruption. Lizzie Warren, Senator Warren, who lied about being a Native American, is one of the least likable humans in the Senate, and she also pretended it's RFK Jr. chasing money. Liz Warren took in $882,000 from people in the so-called healthcare industry.
You financially down the line.
I'll comply with all the ethical guidelines.
That's not the question. You and I, you have said
You're asking me not to sue vaccine pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, you are.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Look, no one should be fooled here. As Secretary of HHS, Robert Kennedy will have the power to undercut vaccines and vaccine manufacturing across our country. And for all of his talk about follow the science and his promise that he won't interfere with those of us who want to vaccinate his kids, the bottom line is the same. Kennedy can kill off access to vaccines and make millions of dollars while he does it. Kids might die, but Robert Kennedy can keep cashing in.
Senator, I support vaccines. I support the childhood schedule.
He simply wants them to be tested for safety. I don't support the childhood schedule. I shared a report the other day that's in a peer-reviewed science, public health publications, public health law and science, that shows a 212% uptick in neurological disorders in kids who've been vaccinated versus kids who haven't. And it comes from the Medicaid database. So Lizzie Warren also had no problem with Tony Fauci taking a rake from pharma patents. None at all. She has no problem with pharma companies lying to kids who've been conned into having gender dysphoria. None at all. She's in favor of it. So the fruits of Lizzie Warren are clear in this, in my judgment. It's political. A woman who runs or put together the unconstitutional Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau has the same business model. And she could use that body to hire friends and neighbors. She was in the hallway later, Senator Warren, and this is her standing there while standing and shrieking in the hallway outside the hearing room.
His answers are he intends to continue to make money off his anti-vax position. Look, he says he won't go to work for drug companies because the American people have a right to know that the decisions made while he is Secretary of HHS are only for the good of the American people. And yet, he wants to keep a piece of the action on every one of these anti-vax lawsuits. And what that means potentially is, as Secretary of HHS, he can make those lawsuits a whole lot more profitable. In fact, he may have the opportunity to bankrupt the vaccine manufacturers, and then nobody gets vaccine.
Are you worried that he's in a position to serve his own interests?
That is the problem. He has said he will protect his right to make money off the position of Secretary of HHS. That means that every decision he makes could be for the American people or could be just to benefit RFK Jr.
Elizabeth Warren is a shrill liar. She doesn't care about that. Tony Fauci forced people to take the COVID shots, which killed many people. I contend that the data is clear that it's 17 million globally. He forced them to through blackmail. She didn't care about that. He got rich doing that. He forced hospitals to give people remdesivir, which is deadly for many. She didn't care about that. Tony Fauci takes a percentage of profits from drug companies, or did, probably still does. In terms of knowing them by their fruits, RFK Jr. has been consistent. Ron Wyden and Elizabeth Warren are political backstabbers, period. We'll come back and talk about being in the world and not of it. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Thanks for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. As Christians, we're called to be in the world, not of it. And man, that is sometimes a challenge because the world can offer things that seem so, so good. And I think again and again now, recently, of the fact that the path to destruction is wide. And a lot of people are going to walk it. The light and the path to salvation is narrow, it's long. And we need a map and a light, and Jesus Christ is the map and the light, the way, the truth, and the life. So think about that wide path of destruction. And I think about trapping crabs and fish traps, crab traps. And the way they work is they're funnel shaped, and the animal goes in a big hole, and it looks like easy to get out, and they turn around, and the hole is obscured, and it seems like there's no way out. But that big, wide opening was so enticing because there's food in there. Or I think about what's called a kill chute. I sometimes talk about behavioral kill chutes. You know, we talked in the last segment about the, in my judgment, clear double standards of Ron Wyden and Elizabeth Warren. And where there's a double standard, there's a hidden agenda. They don't care that Tony Fauci got rich from profit taking with pharma companies while forcing people to take absurdly terrible so-called medication. They didn't care, meaning they don't care. And they only care when RFK Jr. sues pharmaceutical companies because they have a double standard, which means they have a hidden agenda. And I think about that in terms of that kill shoot behavior that the public health authorities loved. It puts the needle in its skin if it wants to eat again. Everything led back to the mRNA. So the kill shoots are huge, wide fences. And they could start 2 or 3 miles apart. And you are simply herding the cows into this funnel-shaped fence. And eventually, there's nowhere for the cows to go. They're walking single file. And if it's a well-run, humane cattle ranch, they dispatch the animals usually with a shock, or I don't think you do that with cows. I think they're too large. I think it's captive bolt guns. And the cow is there and the cow is not. So behavioral kill shoots. In the gay gospel, the behavioral kill shoot is this. All things lead to gay. Oh, wait, am I supposed to say Jesus? Right. In the gospel, all things lead to Jesus. In the Bible, all things lead to Jesus. In the gay gospel, all things lead to gay. I feel such a burden for this. And someday God's going to tell me why. I think it's penance. When I was a young guy and wanted to be infamous in radio, I was defending same-sex marriage, and I defended it in a church, and it was a horrible thing we did. Very misleading. It was all for attention. And I abused the microphone God gave me to be a jerk. And in that case, to be a heretic. I'm not saying that God's getting revenge, but I could see God saying, yeah, you know what? I equipped you, and now I'm calling you. You have some ground to make up. So I have this burden to try to help the American church speak better to same-sex attracted folks. Because the false teachers are out there. There's an impostor. This comes from our friends at Protestia. David Murrow, you've heard him on the show. He's the publisher there. Very good young guy. Served in our military. He got in trouble for refusing the shots. And he seems like a patriot and very much loves and abides with Jesus. So Episcopalian impostors are kind of becoming famous, infamous for stealing the faith and lying about it. And this is another Episcopalian fake preacher who claimed that the woman who bled for 12 years was healed not because of her faith in Jesus.
And she is a woman who has been ill for 12 years, so she's likely, by the standards of the day, an old, ill woman. And when Christ turns to see her, he does not say, "Fear not, woman. I, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, hath healed thee." That's not what he says. He says to her kindly and wisely, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Now, if faith is simply defined as belief without proof, then this woman has faith in abundance. And it's not simply or solely the faith that she has in Christ's ability to heal her. It is faith in herself. Her faith in herself has made her well.
Oh. Wow.
Her faith in herself. Man, I didn't know we could do that. Did you? Hey, listen, if you've got some dread cancer, have faith in yourself. There's no point in praying to Jesus Christ. Just have faith in yourself, baby. You got this. This is why I have this burden, because these people are so consistently just brutally lying. You can't think that and be a Christian. By the way, people will ask, and I should have pointed out, this is St. Luke's Church in Atlanta. So this fake preacher doubles down and goes on to state that pride in herself was what led to the woman being healed by Jesus Christ.
It is the belief that despite what she is being told about who she is and what she's worth, she knows her life has value. Her life matters, if only to herself. And she's not going to allow society to shame her into the grave. Her pride in herself, immunizes her against that shame and allows her to take that leap of faith. Pride is the antidote to shame. And the shame I'm talking about is not the shame you feel because of something you did. It's the shame you are made to feel because of who you are.
Let's just break this apart together. This woman wasn't going to allow shame and how people viewed her to control her life, except she couldn't go into the temple. Except she couldn't be in polite society. So she sought her own faith in herself. She sat there on a rock and said, "I have faith in myself. I am very proud of bleeding. I'm proud that I have a menstrual cycle that won't stop. I am proud of this." And so she funded an organization that was called Women Bleed Proudly. And she gathered all women who were beset by this very horrible disease, and they formed a group to say, "We insist that this is who we are and it's good. For to be constantly hemorrhaging is good and healthy. And plus, we have pride and we believe in ourselves." No, she humbled herself, even as humbled that she'd been through circumstances, and she snuck up to not even touching his person, perhaps because she didn't want to defile him, because the belief at the time was a bleeding woman was a source of defilement. So she touched his garment, and Jesus Christ sensed it. And Jesus didn't turn around to her and say, "Hey, have pride in yourself." Have faith in yourself. Stand up. You got this. You can rock this. Jesus said, who touched me? And some of his followers said, Lord, there's people all around you. How could you know who touched you? He said, no, someone touched my garment. I felt the power leave me. And then she confessed. And Jesus said, your faith in yourself healed you. No, he did not. Her faith. She knew that by merely touching his garment, that she would be saved. She knew it. Knew she couldn't do it on her own, and doctors couldn't do it. But this heretic, fake pastor, talking about pride this way. God hates human pride. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 17, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes leads that list. Haughty eyes can be viewed as an arrogant man's view of the world. Later on, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Proverbs 16, 5. Jesus Christ humbled himself to the point of the cross. Was that pride? Every time humans have acted upon their pride, terrible things have happened. Adam and Eve were first up. You can think time and again of the pride of humans in the face of the merciful God. So this fake pastor in Atlanta, misleading people, then moved on from the Bible completely, speaking more about his view of pride.
Enormous progress has been made in accepting LGBTQ plus people like myself and ensuring their civil rights. And yet, even today, a young person's awareness of their place in that community, my community, is more likely to cause them anxiety and fear than it is a cause for celebration or even basic self-acceptance. Even today, a member of my community is often to fear violence and humiliation, to make you feel ashamed, to incarcerate you in the re-education camp of your own society. It is to make you timid. It is to make you compliant. It is to make you silent. Shame leads to silence, and silence equals death. If shame leads to silence, and silence equals death, then shame leads to death, and the antidote to shame is what? What? Pride. Pride is the antidote to shame. Pride saves lives.
We can read about the prophets who, having glimpsed the Almighty, said of themselves, I am ruined. I'm ruined. Look at you. In your majesty, I am ruined. It is not a mistake, in my mind, that in the gay gospel, the rainbow was chosen. Because all things about that movement are counterfeit. I mean, if you want to go through the statistics, we can do that. It happens that violence in the same-sex attracted community is almost always domestic violence, and it's almost always man-on-man, woman-on-woman, boyfriend-on-boyfriend, girlfriend-on-girlfriend, ever more so in the so-called trans community. There's no large-scale focus of violence against those people. Praise God that there's not. So people are getting the veneer of faith with none of its power, to paraphrase the Bible. They get to rub some faith on some things, or in their mind, rub some Jesus on some things. Do you notice that in that entire circumstance, Jesus was a bystander? Right at the center of it was that woman. There is so much of the gay gospel that focuses on narcissism, defensive narcissism. That's a weird phrase. Is it defensive narcissism? What I do in my life with my flesh thrills me so much. It is so addictive that it is. I've been taught that it defines me. And there are people who are telling me that it's wrong. And there's the biology that would show me that it's wrong. There's the disease it causes that would show me that it's wrong. In male relations, there are changes to the body that shows me it's wrong. It is non-procreative. It is spoken about in the Bible as wrong. But I love the feeling it gives me. And now I can make it an identity. So for all the things God says, I don't care. Because this is my identity and my pride. We as a church really do owe ourselves. Well, no, let's say it this way. We owe Jesus getting in this fight. We, the church in America, we need to get into this fight by inviting same-sex attracted people to come and hear about our sins and our foibles and our challenges with the flesh and how difficult it is every day of our lives. We'll come back on The Disciple's View with a personal note and the Tower of Babel. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The email came in to thetoddhermanshow.com. You can write to me there. It's thetoddhermanshow.com. Or if you prefer and you want the management at AFR to see it, you can write to comments@afr.net. And this is from Mark. Dear Todd, I've never had to pull a car over during a radio program before, but you really got me. I am terrified of plane crashes, terrified of car crashes. I always thought that I was simply a coward and afraid of dying. But I felt, is the word convicted? I don't know where I'm going when I die. That thought is chilling to me. I listened to AFR for biblical news, but I thought I was walking with Jesus. I really don't know where I'm going. Can you help me know? And guys, I really would appreciate it if you put a city where you're writing from, unless you just don't want to be recognizable that way. Mark, I can't cause you to turn on the radio or turn on this network. I'm powerless that way. And God the Father is calling you to himself, and you may well be abiding, but you seem to have in your heart a fear. Can I ask you something? Have you prayed about whether there's something that is keeping you and God apart? And maybe it's not that you're not saved. I'm assuming that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you've asked Jesus to enter your life and asked that the Holy Spirit would maximize himself within you and minimize you. So that's the assumption. If you haven't done those things, do them now. If you have done those things, is it possible that there's something that's come between you and God to the degree that you can't hear his voice anymore? He loves you, but he's far off because you've obscured his voice because you don't want to hear it? Is it possible? I don't know, because it's a brief note that you wrote, but that's just on my heart. I know when I went through my wrestling match with God about, well, I'm still in it in a way, but finally surrendered in October, that I wasn't reading the Bible. As shameful as that is, I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't spending any time in it. Because every time I opened it, there was God. And it seemed that everything I read led back to, you need to surrender. So I would just ask you to pray into that. And if you've accepted the Lord, as we've talked about, and as your Savior, and agreed to be changed by him, and have the Holy Spirit be maximized in you, and you've taken those faith steps, and I would see you as saved. And you don't sound like someone who's I believe you can give back the gift of salvation. I think you can later reject it. I know that's controversial. I just read that throughout the Bible for me. But yeah, please pray as if there's something that's keeping you from hearing God's voice, even the still small whisper. And this is from Beth in St. Louis, Missouri. Dear Todd, are you going to apply for a White House press pass so that you can attend the press conferences President Trump's team gives? It'd be great to have you there. No, I'm not. Thank you for asking. And I have spent my time in D.C. I may take my daughter there for a tour because she really fondly remembers her time there. And I would do anything to spend 3 or 4 days with my daughter. It's been far too long. So for that reason, I might go. But I'm not going to apply for a press pass because I would far rather talk with you about Jesus, honestly. And if I go to Washington, D.C., it would truly be to go talk to public officials about their faith walk. That's what I'd truly like to do, is get them on interviews to talk about their faith walk. So thanks for the notes. You can write to me at thetoddhermanshow.com if you want. Management at AFR to see it. It's comments at AFR.net. Before we get to the tire babbling, real quick, this from the former president of Kenya had some words for world leaders who want President Trump to keep handing out our money.
People the other day crying, oh, I don't know, Trump has removed money. He said he's not giving us any more money. Watu wanalia. Why are you crying? It's not your government. It's not your country. he has no reason to give you anything. I mean, hey, you don't pay taxes in America. He's appealing to his people. Shaurienu bana. This is a wake-up call for you to say, okay, what are we going to do to help ourselves? Instead of crying, to jiulize, what are we going to do? Haya, ametoa hiyo pesa, sasa tutafanya namna gani jameni? What are we going to do? Yeah? To support ourselves. Because nobody is going to continue holding out a hand there to give you. It is time for us to use our resources for the right things. We are the ones who are using them for the wrong things.
It's a good point. And well said, and good timing, man. I think he has a future as a comedian. He's got his timing down. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
And got my lipstick on today, so I'm a little bit more together. I cannot live in a country that voted for Trump. I cannot spend another 4 years under that man.
3 sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. This is Anthony Mackie. He's the actor who will play Captain America, and he has some thoughts about Captain America.
For me, Captain America represents a lot of different things, and I don't think the term, you know, America should be one of those representations. Like, it's about a man who keeps his word, who has honor, dignity, and integrity. Someone who is trustworthy and dependable.
Okay, let's think about this. The title of the character is Captain America. He was a soldier who agreed to have his body modified, changed completely, his existence changed in furtherance of defending the safety and borders and culture of the United States of America, and therein manifested his honesty, his commitment. But yes, let's make sure that Captain America is not representing America. Well thought out, Mr. Mackey. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Impeached traitor Alejandro Mayorkas has a brand new excuse for why he flooded America with millions of illegal immigrants and cartel operatives.
But just so I'm clear, that are you suggesting your own personal views about how to operate this were at odds, or there was a distinction between your personal approach and how you would have wanted to do it and how maybe your bosses wanted to do it?
I don't want to get into the deliberative process. We're one team and it's one effort, but there's this is not a revolutionary concept that there are disparate views when one has many people involved in the decision-making process.
That's bureaucrat speak for, I really wanted to close the border, but mean Joe Biden wouldn't let me. And that's bureaucrat speak for, yeah, I wanted to close the border. Last segment or soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, CBS political activist Margaret Brennan seemed really super pleased with herself when she thought she had nailed J.D. Vance on immigration.
Well, this is a country founded by immigrants.
Well, this is a country founded by...
This is a unique country.
This is a very unique country, and it was founded by some immigrants and some settlers, but just because we were founded by immigrants doesn't mean that 240 years later that we have to have the dumbest immigration policy in the world.
That's a blunt way to answer and a great way to answer, but if you see the video, Margaret Brennan's lips, she curls up into this smirk. Oh, get out of that one, J.D. Vance. Here's another thing you might say, although I like J.D. Vance's answer better because it's snappy and pithy and memorable. You might say something like this. Well, Margaret, if you'd like to go back to a period of time where people fought tribally over lands in America with the most brutal practitioners of violence being the ones who get to own the land, I guess you could make that decision. We, on the other hand, prefer law and order. But you be you. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note, I have not obviously been, well, I mean, there are people who survive airplane crashes. I'm not one of them. But I've been close a couple of times, and I want you to hear this. And the sound is—it's not great, but it's environmental, and I think it's important for what I'm about to tell you. This is the air traffic control at Reagan National.
342 at the Wilson Bridge change to start runway 33, runway 33, clear to land.
25 Memorial.
S25
is CRJ in sight. S25 has an aircraft in sight for
472. American 3130, go around turn left and 250 climb Anthony 3000.
That last piece was an air traffic controller apparently getting an airplane out of the blast zone. It was in Los Angeles where I first really encountered the perhaps being killed in an airplane crash. And we were coming in to land. We'd come in out of Turtle Bay. And Alaska Airlines had their first and, at that point, only crash in Turtle Bay where a Boeing tail rudder had not been properly repaired, and these were known to be decrepit and poorly designed. And that plane went upside down and, boom, smashed into the water. So aware of that, coming in this flight in Los Angeles, the pilot was doing a great job just leveling plane off, beautiful blue sky. Huge visibility. And we came down over the airports in close enough to see into the windows of the airport buildings and to see people walking and making their way to airplanes, maintenance workers. And suddenly, the pilot gunned it. And the force of that airplane. And we went straight up. And that pilot banked that airplane to the left, and it felt like a moment of weightlessness. And it felt like we went almost upside down. And people were screaming, and flight attendants were telling people to take the crash position, and people were crying. And then the airplane leveled off, and we waited for a moment. And the pilot did what pilots do. And by the way, did you know that they were trained to have this particular voice affectation? Because in the studies, they found that this particular voice affectation gave people the most comfort. So he came on and said,
Folks from the flight deck, apologize for the rough happenstance there. A little airplane getting our way and didn't want to ruin our day or his. So we'll come back around real quick and put you on the ground safely at LAX Again, thanks for your patience, and we'll have the ground safely shortly.
So that was it. We come around, and we land, and people applaud. And I decided to wait. I didn't have any place I needed to be right away, and I decided to wait after I got off the airplane. And I'd seen the pilot. People were shaking his hand and thanking him. And so I stood outside, and he came off the airplane. I said, "Hey, Captain, again, thank you for what you did. That was incredible." He said, "Yeah, I appreciate that. Can I ask you a question privately?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "How bad was that?" He goes, "Yeah, it was really bad." "How close were we?" He goes, "Closest I've ever had in my career." "Wow, again, thank you for that." And like, "Could that airplane put up with that?" He goes, "Oh." He goes, "I could do loop-de-loops in that airplane." I said, "Do the other airplanes get out of your way?" He goes, "The traffic control is right on that. And they're saying abort, abort. And they're calling out, there's signals for that." And I said, "Well, again, I just was so curious about how bad that was. And thank God we were in your hands." And he said, "What?" I said, "Thank God we were in your hands." He goes, "No. Nope. Thank God you were in his hands." "Yeah. Better said. God be with you." So people lost their lives yesterday. And they didn't, I think, have a chance to know what was coming. But we all know what's coming. We don't know when. They didn't know when. They didn't think this is it for me. I beg you. If you are afraid of dying, deathly afraid of that, please search your heart. Do you know where you're going? If not, please make the decision to go with Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides we can all speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been our Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.